joined by our guest writer today, who is Elaine Spires, and she's also a novelist, playwright and actress as well. So it's lovely to finally say hello to you.
Hello, Michelle.
Now, you've done so much. I just mentioned The Single Best Thing, but you've also got the banjo book and a short film, Only the Lonely. So we're going to get to all of those. For you, Elaine, what came first? Because I know you're an actor well. So what came first for you? Is it the acting or the writing?
Well, they were intertwined, really. I used to go to the Anna Sher Community Theatre in Islington, and Anna always encouraged us to write our own plays and perform our own plays. You know, every term there would be a festival of plays, and I really enjoyed doing that. And so the writing kind of came from there. I did I performed a one woman show which was called What's Eating Me, yeah. Which is about a seriously obese woman who goes on television. Her mother sets her up, and she's one of these reality TV programs where she loses a phenomenal amount of weight, you know, every year, becomes their slimmer of the year.
Yeah.
But of course, once the program and the sport are over, then she's on her own and she can't keep the weight off. And so it was called What's Eating Me. And I did it, I performed it at the Anna Sher Theatre, and I also took it to the Edinburgh Fringe. Mm. And it was quite well received, and I really enjoyed doing it. And once the play was over, I didn't really want to let go of Eileen, who was the protagonist. And so I thought, do you know what, I'm going to write a book. So I wrote a book called What's Eating Me, which was my first novel. But Eileen, interestingly, appears through several of my single series books as well. She was a character I really liked and couldn't let go of. So that's how it started, really, through the acting, although my acting career has waned somewhat now, but the writing is very much, I hope, still on the up.
Yeah, well, to do a one-woman show, I mean, that is just, you've got to be so on the ball with that. I mean, I don't know how you do it, because it's just you, and you've got to have a very, very good memory for what you're doing. You can't have any lack of concentration, otherwise everything's just gone, isn't it?
Absolutely. Although I do have to say, it was a one-woman show, but I had the most glorious child actor with me, Eleanor Beth Carter. Mm. In fact, her dad is one of your Phoenix Spencer, one of radio
presenters. No, not my Spencer.
Yes, well, when Eleanor, I think she was about 7 or 8, and she was on stage as me as a child,
yeah.
As Eileen as a child, rather. Yeah, oh. So, and she was wonderful, absolute joy.
And that is our Spencer Carter that does the weekend wind-up here on Phoenix FM on a Saturday.
Yes.
Now, you've got a background in travel, I've read here, and you said that's helped you with your characters, because obviously when you're writing, you know, you would take little bits and pieces. So tell us about some of the characters that you met that kind of made into some of your work.
Well, I have to have a huge disclaimer and say, you know, nobody is totally represented in the books. But, the type of travel I did in later life, because as a younger person, I was a holiday rep and resort manager. I went on a gap year to Spain that lasted for 16 years. But then I then became a tour manager for singles holiday groups. So I accompanied groups of single tourists all over the world. And so, of course, I met loads and loads and loads of people, and you always get the characters, you know, and little incidents that happened. And you know, so, and I always said I dealt with absolutely everything. When you're a tour manager, you can deal with anything life throws at you. The only thing, thank God, I never had to deal with was a birth. But everything else, you know, I dealt with. And these huge you know, every time you did a trip, you had another 20 new characters, you know, to meet. And so it gave me, you know, it was rich pickings, really. And, you know, quite a few of my clients I'm still really good friends with, which is lovely.
The Single Best Thing is part of a series. Tell us about the books and the characters without giving too much away.
Right. Okay. Yes. It's the single series. So there's Singles Holiday, set in Antigua, Singles and Spice, set in India, Single All the Way, set in Essex on a Christmas holiday. Singles at Sea, which is a cruise through the Norwegian fjords. A Single Set and Match, which is a tennis holiday to Ibiza. And then The Single Best Thing, which is the final book. Because as well as each of these books takes place in a different place, they're with Eve Mitchell, who is the tour manager, and something happens to her in the first book, which becomes the overlying arch of the story arch of the six books, and that finally comes to an end in The Single Best Thing. And I can't really tell you what that is without giving a whole load of stuff away. But so each one is Eve taking a group of different characters to a different worldwide destination, and you know, the stuff that happens when they get there, and how they react to each other. Their humour, you know, and it is a bit sort of all human life is there, you know, as a real life singles holiday is. And The Single Best Thing is set partly in England, partly in Florida, partly in Antigua. And that is the final, you know, where I tie up all the loose ends, the final book in the series.
That sounds like something I'd like to watch on TV.
Oh, well, from your mouth to God's ears, because I am dying for some, you know, for somebody, a TV company. It would make fabulous television. Each book would make a fabulous little series, you know. It really would, yes.
Now, the banjo book, I know what a banjo is, and we're not talking about the instrument, is set in Dagenham. So if people are not aware, what is a banjo?
A banjo is a pedestrianised cul-de-sac. And in Dagenham, there are lots of them. When they built the Beckentry Estate in the 1920s, they laid it out so that lots of the roads were shaped like a banjo. So they'd have a sort of a narrow entrance, and then the houses would be around, sort of set in a semicircle at the end of it.
Yeah.
And so that lent itself. Of course, there weren't so many cars. Now, of course, unfortunately, the majority of them have been, you know, concreted over, and they're parking, you know, but they used to have beautiful gardens on each side, and it was a safe place for children to play and for neighbors to chat and so on. And what I decided, I wanted to write a book set in Dagenham, because I'm a Dagenham girl, set in Dagenham from the first one. The banjo is set in the 1950s and 60s. And then there's the second banjo book, which is set from the 70s onwards. And that really, the banjo, or it's about the eight families who live in this pedestrianised cul-de-sac. But the banjo itself really is the protagonist. And in the second book, it deals from the 1970s to the present day, and really covers the changes that the community has undergone, you know, in that time, for good and for bad, you know, really showing things are different, but things are the same, I think is what I'm saying in the book. And so both of those, that's the banjo book one, and that's the banjo book two.
Lovely covers.
But thank you. They were designed by a cousin of mine, Brian, who's also a Dagenham boy. But I love the story of my hometown, absolutely fascinates me. And so after writing these books, which are sort of from, you know, the second half of the 20th century, I then went back to the end of World War One and wrote a book called A Village in the Country, which is the last one, which is this one. And that's set in Dagenham at the end of World War One. And it's when they, so that it went from this tiny little village to suddenly the centre of this town with 100,000 people, when they built 25,000, you know, new homes. So that, a huge difference once again in the community.
I spent a lot of time at the Robin Hood pub when I was very young, because my friend's dad used to run it, only for a couple of years. She moved away, actually, and she moved away when she was 13, and we've stayed in contact ever since. But that pub was amazing, big pub. It's not there anymore. I think there's an Aldi or something, but it was huge, massive pub. Had great fun riding my bike around the ballroom in there. You also write plays, and you've got a short film, Only the Lonely, which was made by Dan Films and won the Groucho Club's Best Short Film Award in 2009. And you got two silver awards at the WOFFF 2019. So tell us about that.
Yes, it was. I co-wrote it with Veronique Christie, who is an actress friend from the days at Anna Scher, and we'd often talked about writing together. And she got in touch with me, and I was living in Antigua at the time, so we wrote the whole film script sort of over Zoom and Zoom meetings, which was interesting. Especially given the internet contact in Antigua, which was erratic to say the least. But yes, we had this idea of writing once again about change and changes to the community. Yeah. And this film, it's two women who live next door to each other. One is an Asian who's immigrated into East London, and one is, you know, one of the old working class families. And it's about, you know, the lives of the two women, and, you know, how loneliness can affect people. And we called it Only the Lonely. And yes, and we Dan Films picked it up and decided to make it. We had, we were just amazed at how well it was received, you know. And Anna Calder Marshall took the main role, which was just wonderful. Yeah. And it did very well, and we're very, very proud of it.
Where can people find out more, and where can they get your books from?
My books are all available for Kindle or in paperback version on Amazon.co.uk. If you just go Elaine Spires, if you put Elaine Spires into Amazon.co.uk, or my website, which is ElaineSpires.co.uk. And I love people getting in touch, and it's really... I've had a few people get in touch lately from Australia, people who emigrated from Dagenham, and they get in touch and they say just, you know, it's been like a trip down memory lane for them, reading the Banjo books, which, and that's amazing that people actually, you know, take the time to do that. Another great thing as well, once a guy who, I knew he'd been one of the clients in the group of single people I took. And he told me that he was in Turkey on a holiday with a singles group. And 9 of the 10 people on his group were actually sitting reading Singles Holiday around the pool, which was...
Oh, wow. How amazing is that? Oh, that's fabulous.
That was amazing, yeah. That was really great.
So just very quickly, we're going to end the interview in the next minute. So I just wanted to ask you, what inspirational words and advice would you give to someone just starting with writing?
Oh, believe in yourself and do it. You know, don't worry about, will anybody read this? Write what you want to write. Write your book. You know, and don't worry about if it's going to sell. It'll never sell if you don't write it. And I think, you know, write with passion, write with your truth, and, you know, you'll be surprised at what you can actually do. If somebody had told me, you know, that now at my age I would be working on my 12th novel, you know, I'd never have believed them, but you don't know what you can do until you try.
Fabulous words. Thank you so much for joining us today, Elaine.
Thank you for having me.
It's wonderful.
It's been lovely.
That is novelist, playwright and actress Elaine Spires. And thank you very much to you. Very quiet in the background there, Sylvia Kent. And we'll be chatting again next month as well, won't we, Sylvia?
We will. Lovely to meet you, Elaine, because we haven't actually met.
Hopefully we'll get you both into the studio. So thanks ever so much. You both have a lovely day. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
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 I found a love for